Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
One is Mark and John's the other. They love the holidays and the presents.
It's Dual Queens, it's Dual Queens. It's the Mary Kelly of these Jubilee. It's Dual Queens, it's Dual Queens.
Five golden rings.
Hello.
Oh,
welcome to Jewel Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, my heart is filled with cheer about the guest who is joining us this week. Please let everyone know who it is.
They're the hosts of the delightful podcast, The Best Little Horror House in Philly. It's George Heffler.
Woo. Hello. Thrilled to be here.
Thank you for being here, George. Now, you are in Philadelphia, correct?
That is correct. Yes, I've been here for nigh on a decade now.
And, really? And,
yeah.
Okay. A decade in Philly.
Do you celebrate like the holidays? Are there holiday Philly festivities in Philly? Like what's
4th of July?
Yeah. So it's funny because I am actually Jewish, but I love Christmas. No, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. My mom converted to Judaism in order to like marry my dad, but her whole side of the family is still Christian and everything. So we like just celebrated Christmas as well as Hanukkah. My dad's like one putting his foot down thing was no tree. There wasn't a Christmas tree allowed in the house, pretty much everything else we did. So I never had any issues with Christmas. I love it. I love the sentiment of it. I love walking through like the Christmas village that is. So
you get a Christmas village.
Yes. Nice. Right more. Around City Hall. They build this really nice Christmas village with an ice rink and everything. And people set up like little local businesses have shops and stuff that you can walk through. It's a really nice time. And there's all kinds of great lights up and everything. They do a great job with it, especially I don't know how often if they're going to keep doing this, but they had been doing like a huge Ferris wheel and stuff. And
really?
Yeah, they really went all out. And, you know, part of what's also cool about Philadelphia is that it's very like neighborhooded in that there will be like distinct demarcation points and those communities will be like, oh, like we're going to do like a big Christmas thing that like takes up the whole block basically. I mean, a lot of suburbs and stuff do this too, but it's very cool in like a city where everything is so compact to really have it be like this huge lights display.
Is Philadelphia cool like a walkable city? I've never been.
Yeah. It has a pretty decent public transit system, which helps. And yeah, you know, it's pretty small for its size, you know, is what I'll say.
It's like San Francisco.
The city
like,
is small for its size or the public transport system?
The city is small for its size. And then in West Philadelphia, there's all kinds of trolleys and stuff. So I can get around no problem over here.
We love a trolley. Good. Maybe in St. Louis.
Clang, clang, clang.
I've been thinking a lot about like the Christmas. You host a horror podcast. Your podcast about people come in and they make a case for why X movie is the best horror movie. But are there a lot of Christmas horror movies? I know there's the franchise. We'll definitely get into one entry this week. But beyond the Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise, what is there? There's the tale, that one Tales from the Crypt episode, of course, Black Christmas.
Black Christmas, yes. One of the original slasher movies, you know.
Directed by Bob Clark, who did A Christmas Story. Yeah. And Porky's.
Wow.
That's a resume. That's
get you a man who can do it all, you know?
The triumvirate. And also Turk 182, which nobody remembers.
Yeah. I mean, there was actually
a Christmas movie.
No, it's another Bob Clark movie.
Oh.
I'm just naming Bob Clark movies.
Oh, fair. I wasn't sure you'd pivoted. Sorry.
There's two Christmas horror movies coming out this very year. There was that Joe Bagos Robot Santa one that's coming out.
Is that what it's called? Robot Santa?
No, it should be, though. I forgot exactly what the name was.
That's what people are going to call it.
Yeah. And then there's the David Harbour Violent Night one.
I feel like that's more action than horror.
Is it?
That's what I get. But I haven't
seen too much of the trailers.
I saw the trailer and it looks fun. It plays like an entire Funny or Die sketch, which I'm not mad at.
Sure.
And apparently Bloody Disgusting gave it rave reviews today. So
sounds like a horror movie to me. It's Bloody Disgusting.
I guess that's true. Yeah. You know,
they're
busted by your own petard.
There you go. I hope it is very violent. Don't get me wrong. I do want to see Santa blow people away. It's like that scene in Scrooge, but they just made a movie out of it. They did the movie.
That was the movie within it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
There's some fun Christmas ones, but I will say the franchise we're talking about today houses several of my favorites within the very tiny micro genre. So,
well, we might as well get into it. There's never going to be a better segue than that. John, today we're talking about Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker. John, what's the deal with Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 5, The Toymaker?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker. It was directed by Martin Kittrosser and written by Kittrosser and Brian Usna. And it's the fifth film in the Silent Night, Deadly Night film series, which includes 6, although the 6th one is a remake of the first one, so I don't know if that really counts. Anyway, tells the story of an elderly toy maker and his son who make killer toys designed to kill children. It stars William Thorne, Jane Higginston, Tracy Frame, Brian Bremer, Neith Hunter, and Mickey Rooney, who had previously condemned the original film. It was released on VHS on November 7th, 1991. I could find no information on the financials, but the reviews were not great. Tim Brayton of Antagony and Ecstasy called it junky direct-to-video pap, and only the fact that it does, for a brief spell, involve a murderer Santa Claus gives it any sort of leg up over the other films in its series. And FlickeringMyth.com said the film wasn't great, stating, "The acting is of a level you'd expect, the story has some good twists and turns, and it has an ending that will stay with you for a few days after the credits roll. To be honest, it's worth watching just to see the ending." And that is the deal with Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker.
So, George, we asked you to pick a holiday movie, and you chose Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker. Why Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker?
So the reason I picked Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker is because I love the original Silent Night, Deadly Night. Mm-hmm. I think that it is just an excellent slasher movie to start with. But I also think that it is so funny because it is very mean-spirited. Don't get me wrong. I think that it is like
the first one.
Yes, the very first one. And when people are like, "Oh, I don't like this movie," I'm like, "I get it. I understand."
Yeah, not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. But I think that it works as a really great, just like you're there to see a killer Santa and it delivers. And that's all you can really ask of an exploitation movie like that. And so everything else, all of the other good stuff is icing on the exploitation movie cake. And so when I was thinking about which movie I might want to talk about, I was like, that's a really fun one for me. But I think that it's less fun for the whole family, so to speak.
Sure. Fair enough.
Oh, we're family. Thank you.
Not to push myself too hard, but
always an extra seat at the table.
We're like Olive Garden when you're here, your family.
Exactly. So I said, you know, this franchise in general goes all over the place. Brian Usna, his name is a bit of a stamp of approval for me, in that you know you're going to get some weird stuff going on in there. He directed the 4th one. He's the executive producer of this one. Like you said, he co-wrote it. And so this one just goes in like weirder places. I think it goes more off the rails, and it's maybe less directly related to Christmas. Like it's not like snow and there's not as much right. Santa going wild. But I think that there is a lot of fun to be had with this one, especially for someone who, you know, is still trying to have a little lighthearted fare in the holiday season. This is certainly not, I wouldn't say show this to your parents necessarily, but but I think it's a fun time.
Absolutely.
Grandma, it's got Mickey Rooney. You'll love it.
What about you, John? What did you think? Was this your first time seeing any of these movies?
It was. At first, I was curious because back to your question earlier about slasher movies with Santa Claus, the first horror movie I remember seeing was a movie called To All a Good Night, which is basically like a sororities or a bunch of sorority girls are being killed by a guy in a Santa suit. Sure. So I was like, oh, is that this franchise? Because I saw it when I was like 8 and I haven't seen it again since. But it wasn't this. So this was the first time I had seen any of these movies. Shocking. I thought it was... I kept thinking, checking the year it came out, because it came out in 91, but it felt so early 80s to me. And I kept being like, didn't Scream come out around this time? And Scream was 5 years later, but it just felt so from a different era of horror movies than from when it came out. And I don't think it's just because Mickey Rooney was in it, although that definitely makes it seem like it's from an alternate universe anyway.
Is this a holiday classic that I didn't know about? From the 30s.
The show after Babes in Toyland. So, yeah, I mean, like, as a director, there's a lot of weird, fun stuff in it. Absolutely. And that ending was bananas. So I definitely I didn't hate myself while watching it.
Wow.
How about you, Mark? What are you bringing to Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 5, The Toymaker?
Well, I remember hearing about the first one, like, in junior high. And kids talking about, it's a fucked up movie where a guy sees his, like, parents having sex. And then goes fucking crazy. It gets triggered by people having sex. It becomes a killer Santa. And when you're in junior high school, you're like, this sounds like the best movie I've ever seen. Right. But I only got around seeing any of them. I saw part 2, I think, like, a couple years ago, which incorporates about 30 minutes of part 1. So in a way, I felt like I had seen part 1. And part 2 is... very fun and very goofy. But then part 5, I thought was a fucking blast. I don't know. I thought this thing, like, it just made me so happy. It was so, like, bonkers the entire time.
Yeah.
It's so goofy. Yeah. It's like, it's just, the acting is so overwrought at every moment. They're making the wildest choices. I just thought it was a fucking blast. I don't know. I really dug it. I thought it flew by. It's like maybe the campiest Christmas horror I've ever seen, which is maybe already a campy genre. You know what I mean? Just the fact that Christmas horror itself
Christmas to horror,
one of the very campiest. And this is one of the gayest ones, I think. This is fairly, I thought it was fairly gay in a lot of ways, which will be the whole point of the rest of the conversation. But I thought it was, when I checked the time, it was 1 hour and 10 minutes. So I don't know what to
do. Wow.
You
know what I mean? There's more ringing endorsement from
Mark. And that
Mark
was
Rennie.
Only because I had to pause and use the restroom. But I was fully into it. I thought it was a blast. I'm ready to watch it again tonight. It just made me happy. All I can say is it made me really happy.
That's awesome.
I will reveal that I watched it once by myself in preparation for this, and then I was like, I gotta watch this with some other people too. And so I had some people over and we watched it, and I was like, man, as great as this is, it really sings if you can get a
right
crowd
people.
Together. Yeah.
And isn't that what Christmas is all about?
So true.
Bringing
so
people
true
together.
Mark,
this is better than myrrh.
Who needs myrrh when you got Mickey Rooney?
Hell yeah.
You know, Mr. Myrrh himself.
He was down in that frankincense.
And I do think, except for a few choices Pino makes towards the end, I think you could show this to the family. Because it's not particularly, like, grisly or anything. You know what I mean? It's not particularly, like, gory. But there's some, like, weird sexual creepiness towards
the
end.
There's a lot of weird
sexual Grandma, look away.
Yeah, Grandma, don't pay attention.
Oh, it's over.
Pino's going through something. But beyond that, like, it was like, it is like goofy. It reminds me of like Death Spa in that way. Like, it's just goofy fun. I feel like they're having a blast making it. And I loved killer toys. What more do you want? But anyways, that's neither here nor there. George, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. We have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. Now, at one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added
to the wheel, or you can choose a pre-existing category.
Got that? Makes sense? Otherwise, you'll figure it out. None of
this
matters.
Got it.
Great. All right. Well, this is our current top five gayest Christmas movies. This is where we're at for Christmas. With a 55.86 in fifth place, White Christmas. And then a fourth, adjusted for 56.20, Gremlins. There's your gay, not gay. There's your Christmas horror movie. And a 65.21%, Die Hard. Next, with a 65.76%, Mean Girls. And number one, still the gayest Christmas movie with a 66.49%, is Meet Me in St. Louis.
All right. Charlie's.
Yeah, tough to fight that. George, if you had to guess right now, how well do you think Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker, is going to do?
You know, I don't think it's going to come in at the bottom. I'm thinking it might fall somewhere around Die Hard.
Die Hard in your sights.
Yeah. What was Die Hard's number again?
65.20, around a 65%. All right.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
We'll see. That happens. Might be, you're aiming high, but Christmas is the season of miracles.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. If you don't set your sight for the stars,
you're never going to get there.
What are you doing, right?
Right.
George, how do you like rank the other? Because now I'm interested in like parts 1, 3, and 4.
Yeah, I would say I'm going 1, 5, 2, 4, 3.
Really? Yeah. So 4 and 3 don't even bother, maybe?
4 and 3. Look, maybe don't even bother. There is some merit to them, but I would say that I don't see myself revisiting them anywhere near as much as I do with 1 or 5.
Okay.
All right. So you like the bread of this whole series.
Exactly. Yes. Give me that sandwich. And also I will say that the remake is kind of interesting because it's not really a remake, and it keeps the same kind of very mean tone, but it also eliminates a lot of the like backstory, so it's kind of like a stripped down version of the first one. So you know, it's also kind of interesting. I would say maybe that one's worth seeing as well if you liked the first one.
Okay. I do love seeing a mean movie. That reminds me, I recently rewatched Alice, Sweet Alice, which is one of like the most fucked up
movies. Mean, very mean. Wow.
It's really fucking mean. They're like actually like rough with an actual kitten in it. And you're like, no, come on.
Why? That cat didn't do anything.
Well, she just holds it by the neck, but in a way like you don't like. I don't like that. Still an amazing Catholic horror movie.
Sure.
All right, so let's get in. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, George, on a scale of 0 to 100, what would you give Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 in the category actual gay characters?
Yeah, so this is difficult. Obviously, no one is explicitly gay.
No one is explicitly, but I do think you can make a case for Pino.
Exactly.
He literally comes out of a closet.
Right.
And then at the end,
his dad doesn't think of him as a real son. He's scared about that and putting that relationship in peril. And his
whole like drag reveal when he's like taking off the Santa suit. He goes behind a thing and like does a reveal.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a really like burlesque number.
Sure, but he is ultimately wants to have sex with his mom.
Look, he's confused. I thought it was like a Norman Bates kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of like he's all literally his wires are crossed, John.
Wow. That's true.
That's true. But he definitely came off like even before he was revealed to be a robot. Yeah. Like, Pino's giving me vibes.
He's got his name is Pino.
And he's named after my favorite white wine.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Although lately I've been into a Sauvignon Blanc, if I'm being honest.
Sure, it's too cold.
But Pino Gris for years.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. Pino had an energy. And then also when he screams, I loved when he screams at the mother in their final confrontation, I'm your son now. Like he is like Fraser Crane, like a feminine robot. It was wild.
It was wild. I also, you know, the Larry the Larva just jumped right down that guy's throat.
That's
I'm thinking
true.
That
Larry.
True. Larry. The Larva.
A mutual thing.
I actually thought the hand who was on Buck's ass, that was probably gay. It seemed like a male hand.
Yeah. Look, it was, you know, giving him a little anal play there. He was.
Sure.
Was,
a little butt stuff. Why not?
Yeah, he was.
All yours a hand. Yeah. You want to explore anywhere the part of the body.
Yeah.
I also thought Derek, the little kid, was very like drama. He was very like Joy Division. He was very like goth in like suburb Mervyn's clothing, you know? Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm.
But no one is exposed. But Pino, I do feel like Pino, like, why aren't are there? There must be t-shirts with Pino on them at the horror.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't. I'm sure that everyone is Pino selling out of Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, the Toymaker merch.
Pino really made an impression on me. It's all I can say. Really, I did. Really so loved great. Pino. He was so funny.
Yeah. I love Pino. He's great.
He's great. Well, what do you want to give? What do we think? 0 to 100, George.
I'm thinking. No one is explicitly gay. That's got to be a huge mark against it. But sure. I'm thinking that Pino is bringing enough of a vibe for me that I'm going to come in with a 38. That's where I'm coming in.
That's fair.
I'm going to have to go a little lower than that because it really Pino just seems too weird to me.
Gay people
really
can
gay.
Be weird, John.
Yeah, I didn't say they couldn't, Mark. I'm going to give it a 17.
17. I'll give it a 40. Giving it a 31.67, which is 16 points higher than Jingle All the Way. All right. So we did that just last week. All right. Our next category, gay icons. How we do it on gay icons? Well, what about Mickey Rooney?
Mickey Rooney. I mean, I think.
Is he a gay? Just because like he did movies with Judy.
He's like old Hollywood in that way. Like I would say like probably more gay people would recognize him than straight movie fans.
Sure. Just because, you know.
So in that way, it's like, yeah, he's in the original. Let's put on a show in the barn and that'll save everything.
I feel like nobody cares about those movies he did with Judy Garland though anymore. Like, you don't ever hear them. You know, they're never brought up in any conversations.
You're in very select circles, Mark. There are circles.
You hear about these movies?
Uh-huh, sure.
You hear people are talking about, let's watch this. What are those movies?
People. Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland are on everybody's lips.
And you say there are no weird gay people, John. Mm-hmm.
I didn't say that. You said I said that.
maybe him, but I also feel like, I don't know. Do we trust Mickey Rooney?
No. I will say this. Watching this movie, I sort of became obsessed with Neith Hunter. Is that how it's a Keith with an N, but it's a woman.
Yeah.
She was like a model and she was like the redheaded best friend who came in.
She
and
was
like,
fun.
She was a lot of fun. She said I was actually impressed because she said a lot without saying anything. Mm. She'd be like, oh, you know what I've been through. It's crazy. Don't get me started on my day. Well, here I go. It's like, I don't know what any specifics, but I know it's chaotic. Like whatever she is, like she's that energy.
For a lot of the movie, you're like, wait, why are they going after the boy? Why is it?
Why is anything happening?
At first I was like, wait, did I miss something? I was like, it all comes together in the end.
And also the timeline in this movie is also very confusing in that like the first scene you're like, it feels like it's Christmas Eve, but then they're like 2 weeks later and they're still like talking about Santa. So I was like, oh, this family goes real full in Christmas right away.
Well, it's starting even before Halloween these days.
You're right, that's true. But I loved Neith Hunter, so in a way I will give. Yeah, but I think to her, I was like, oh, I wanted to know more about her. But she, to me, is kind of the most gay icon-y of all of them.
What about Screaming Mad George, the makeup artist? Because I think he's one of like the more campier makeup guys.
Yeah.
Because his stuff always has like a cartoony society, John. Brian
I love Society.
Mm-hmm. Co-wrote this movie, directed Society.
Yep. That makes sense.
And I
also,
like
Pino is on
the last 15 minutes of both of these movies.
Yeah, they just go off the rails. It's like, fuck it.
Who is Pino?
Used as like, just sit down. I'll take care of the I'll land this plane.
I believe that he's just like one of the people who gets shunted at the end.
Most people get shunted in that.
True that. True that. Yeah.
And also his name is Screaming Mad George.
That's so fun.
That's pretty.
He loves putting goop in stuff. That guy, he makes some gross ass effects.
But they're kind of like gross and a wholesome. They're gross in like a 60s, like, isn't this funny? As opposed to like, I'm trying to disgust you.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you want to give this for a gay icon? Well, what about Christmas itself? Is Christmas itself a gay icon? Just throwing it out there. Not that this is even a very Christmassy movie.
Yeah. Although there are scenes with mall Santas and whatnot.
Is Pinocchio a gay icon?
Maybe a little more, that one.
Yeah, right? This is more a Pinocchio movie than a Christmas movie in some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a rare mashup.
It is. It really is a mashup of the two. They put just enough Christmas in. They said, all right, put him in a Santa suit. I don't know. I think this has got to be pretty low, even lower than explicitly gay characters for me.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna give this a 20.
20.
Yeah.
I'll say for Mickey Rooney and Neith Hunter, I'll go 22.
22. I'll go right in the middle between you guys. 21, given an average of 21, which is 6 points higher than Malignant.
Okay.
Take that, Gabriel.
Take that, Gabriel. Oh, man. Gabriel versus Pino. Where's that movie?
Yeah, we got The Ring versus The Grudge Girl.
Thank you.
Where is Pino versus Gabriel?
They got to give us another Malignant movie at some point,
they
right?
They must. Gotta.
They got to. He can't start and stay locked up forever. All right. The next category, the queer gaze. How much could he tell? Like, oh, this is like some queer imagery being presented for us. I did have to Google the director to make sure, like, is this director gay? Because there's so many shot, like so many when there are sex scenes, it's all about like the guy's back and butt.
Yeah. Yeah. The scene between Buck and like the girlfriend who is like the babysitter. She is fully clothed and he strips down to his underwear.
Yeah.
And the camera's like lingering on like
it's all in his back.
He's got those tighty whiteys on, really like arching his back into it.
Yep.
And then the opening, you know, the stepdad.
The dad, yeah.
The opening was hot too.
Yeah.
A lot of shirtless guys. And also, yeah, he like sits down, legs like completely spread, the like little knee flap in his PJ bottoms is a little open. And the camera's just like right in there. You're like, damn, he's all like, there's nowhere else to look, even like
I couldn't help it. That's a queer gaze, I tell you.
Yeah.
And I do think how Pino's like reveal, his like drag reveal sequence, when he's like, that did feel like, oh, this felt like a deleted scene from Burlesque or something. Mm-hmm. It just had a it had a showy presentation.
Yeah, he like sticks his hand out, does a little flick.
Very coy. But this director is not gay, married to a lady, and he's actually like one of the top script supervisors in Hollywood. Like he does all of Quentin Tarantino's movies. Isn't that crazy?
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
must be nice. To work again. Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Although I did in film school, I had to do script supervising and I was terrible at it because you have to look
at exactly
like,
is the job of script supervising?
A lot of it is just like, did we get every line? And then also, it's also continuity. Like, oh, when you said that line, you were holding the glass of water in your left hand. So you want everything. So you just have to keep track. But to me, there was like, I can't keep track of four things at once. So a lot of, and I told like, I told my one friend hired me to do a short film. Well, didn't hire me. We're all students.
You had to do it, right?
Need to do it. And I told him like, I don't think I should, but all right.
And how did it turn out?
We had to do a lot of reshoots because I messed things
up. Wasn't very
in the wrong hand.
Yeah,
it was a Thanksgiving dinner scene. It was insane.
They would look at me like, Mark, what direction should they be running? I'm like, I don't know. It was awful. It was a total nightmare. It's a nightmare job. So those who can do it, kudos. It's a tough job.
Also, those Tarantino movies are not exactly the slowest in terms of having to pay attention to stuff. So it probably is pretty difficult.
But what do we think for the queer gays? Some solid hunks.
I'm thinking that this has got to be the highest category so far, I think, for me at least.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go right down the middle. I'm going to say 50.
50.
I'm going to say 50.
I'm going to say
33. I had 50 in my head before you said it, so I'm going to stick with 50. Giving it
We're synced up.
We're synced up, giving it a 44.33, which is 34 points higher than Malignant now. Wow, really kicking the teeth into Malignant.
Wow.
The teeth on the back of the head.
Both teeth. All right, our next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Pino had some pizzazz.
That is for sure. Pino is living embodiment of pizzazz in some way.
Sure, sure.
He emerges from his little basement cave a few times. Oh, that's some fun when he rips off his face mask and everything.
That was great. That makeup, his suit looked so cool, I thought, too.
I also, the derelict dad or whatever, the guy who comes back into their life, whose name I just did not absorb in three watches.
You don't need to.
No, it doesn't matter. The dad.
Not Pino or Pedo, so are you going to remember?
Exactly. Those really take up a lot of space in my memory of this movie. But when he like steps out from the shadows in the garage,
In the parking garage, I wrote that down.
Yeah.
I thought when he and the bloody babysitter, when she like falls on the car, that's a fun.
Yeah, she
that's
a great one. her chest explodes the first time, and then she's still like crawling, like she's living.
She's like
through
shot with so many
scene.
Other, yeah, little pellets too.
Her, literally,
she's still
her chest explodes.
Exploded.
Yeah, it, we were like, oh, she's dead, and then she like starts moving. And
she's scrappy.
Whatever they're paying her for babysitter, not enough. Not enough. If she is having sex with her boyfriend while babysitting, doesn't matter.
I did like, there is one scene where just Mickey Rooney enters going, Pino! And that I thought was funny. And also the little lemur pokes out of the guy's eye after it kills it. And that kind of had a very Muppet Show energy.
Oh, yeah.
Like Gonzo looking at his trumpet.
Yeah.
Larry coming out. That was a classic move. Classic. Through the eye.
I also like when the mom storms into the toy shop and says, what in God's name was Pino doing in my house?
Oh, man.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do we think for Inches with Pizzazz? Is this a Beetlejuice? I don't think so.
No, no, it's no Beetlejuice, but it has a certain something. I'm going to come in with a 38.
38.
I'm going to actually give it a 41.
John.
I know.
The icy heart is thawing a bit. Maybe another Christmas miracle.
It's a California Christmas, baby.
There you go.
Wow.
It's only chilly. It's not cold.
Yeah, I'll go 39. What the hell? Giving an average of 39.33, which is 42 points lower than All About My Mother. Which would also be a fun subtitle for this.
Sure. Also works.
All right. Our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
I feel like the idea of mixing Christmas with any horror at all, like everybody complaining about the first one, he would feel that way about this one, I feel like.
I think the fact that Mickey Rooney was in this would make him sad.
It was confused. Because also it's like, is that me in the future?
Wow.
Like someone who made all these great films is now reduced to this direct-to-video pulp.
Hey, there's, I like a lot of direct-to-video pulp.
Sex with mothers? Oh, that would actually, he calls there his wife mother, like so that would actually be true. Helpful.
But that would actually spike. He doesn't want to deal with those feelings. That's like, you
true.
Know.
True.
Also, hot dad at Christmas? No, he does not want that. Shirtless? You can't have a shirt off in front of the Christmas tree? No.
The sanctity of the holiday. Yeah,
that tree.
You must be fully clothed when you're by the tree. It's a rule in my house.
Avert your eyes, O Tenenbaum.
Yeah. How much anxiety do you? This was not reviewed by Christian Spotlight on the movies, if you can imagine.
Huh. Wow. The nerve.
The nerve. They're missing out. They'd probably like this one more than the first one, though.
That's
or maybe not.
There is a lot more like intermingled sex and violence in the first one.
I see.
So I think that they would be very upset. I think that this would upset Mike, but I think that he could probably sit through it. He could stomach it ultimately. I'm going to give this a 40.
40.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's like super aggressive, but I don't think he likes it. I'm going to give it a 68.
Huh? 68. I don't know. I'm going pretty. It's got sex, violence, Christmas, gay robots.
Yeah, but the Christmas is not like the Christian Christmas. It's like the heathen part of Christmas.
So he's maybe like, this is what you get when you take the Christ.
You take the Christ out of Christmas. You get
this is what happens.
Five, the toy maker.
Wow,
you get
this a mad is the slippery maker. Slope.
Yeah,
I also like that the toy maker. A lot of times these movies have this where like this toy maker makes rubber snakes and planes that can fly on their own with auto navigation. Why isn't he a millionaire? Why isn't he's making incredible fucking things?
Because he mutilated a child one time.
That's why.
One time.
God, you mutilate one child. No one ever lets you forget.
I gave it a 90, so giving it an average of 66, which is about 14 points higher than Ernest Scared Stupid. All right. That makes sense.
Alrighty. That feels right.
That feels right. All right. Our next category, Hell on Heels. What are we doing in Feisty Ladies?
Well, we got Neith Hunter, who, again, I'm obsessed with.
You think this was an accident?
I love how she just like shows up at the house. She's like, what's going on? They're like, watch the kid. And she's like, comes and goes.
I didn't get your son a present.
Right. Just like, my son is in a head-to-toe cask in the hospital. But I'll just wander by your house just to see what's up. No big deal.
Right.
There's a very, was that her son, the kid on the rollerblades?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Gotta watch
it. It's very funny, that rollerblade scene of this kid losing his mind, but then it just a slow fade, and then it lights up on this kid bandaged head to toe, just going, yeah. It's so really good. Funny.
I also loved him just like making fun of the babysitter's boyfriend. Like that guy no answer. No answer for it.
Also, I think Sarah, she literally like foot stomps Pino to death and says, die in heels. And rips says, Derek's, die, you son of a bitch.
Rips Derek out of Santa's arm at the mall.
Yeah.
That's true. And that girl at the mall, she's annoying too.
Also, the babysitter, I mean, she does survive.
She's her chest explodes and she keeps crawling. She's shot point blank with a shotgun, essentially. Yeah. And keeps moving.
Keeps going.
She also doesn't let the dad get into the house, although she does give up.
She does give up the address. That was not good. Yeah.
So
we think Santa is like a bit of hell on heels. He always does. You never see Santa in flats.
Wow.
It's so always true. A boot.
Yeah.
A kitten heel. Sometimes.
A bit of a kitten heel, the boot. Sure.
When I picture Santa, I'm picturing.
I mean, I think this category comes more from strident women, so I think it's meant to be more like women.
I just as a conversation. I'm just
gotcha, sure.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Conversation.
But I do think Sarah. I did think it's funny how like Sarah never puts her catatonic son into therapy, or no one ever seems concerned about.
He hasn't talked for 2 weeks, but okay.
Oh well,
if we get him the right present, that'll solve everything.
Finally, get him a toy. Yeah,
that's just the thing he needs. Yeah, how we doing on Feisty Ladies, George?
I think it's a little too centered around the son and Pino to really score high in this category for me, even though there are some appearances of strident women.
Sure.
So I'm going to come in with a pretty low score on this. I'm thinking like a 27.
27.
Yeah.
I agree that there's mostly like the weird Pino pedo relationship or whatever that we're following here, but the women who are in this are pretty strident. And again, I love Neith Hunter. I'm gonna go 55.
Wow. 55. John discovered a love for Neith Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm downplaying this movie too much.
Yeah. I'll give it a 49. Giving it an average of 43.67. All right, finally, the last of the iconic canon category. George, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 to a gay person?
I think I'm going to give this a pretty high score. I think it's a lot of fun. I'm going to come in at like a 70. I think that there's a lot to love in it. There is a lot of like the it's scored high in the queer gaze stuff. So
that's true.
I think that there's a lot to enjoy, especially if you're looking for sort of a campy Christmas horror, you know, this I think is
the bill.
This is the one that I'm probably going to recommend.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. I will go 65.
I'm going insane. I'm giving it a 95. I would tell.
Wow. Okay.
You got to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night 5.
You think if a gay person hasn't seen it, that's like a crime.
No, but I think you'll love it. You know what I mean? My passion is coming through of the, mm-hmm. I think it's a fucking blast. And Pino is very campy, you know, so what's not to like?
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a lot to love in Pino.
Mm-hmm.
And they make you wait for it, which I like. We don't get
tired
of it. You
love edging, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't get tired of it.
It's funny, you know, there is some weird stuff at the beginning, but, and so you're like, I figure this will be the like tone of it for the whole thing. And then those last 20 minutes hit and you're just like, there's no way to
the table was not set for this.
Yeah.
And yet here's dessert.
You're never bored, but then it just keeps tightening. It does it, you know, it does definitely doesn't peak early.
Right.
No, it does not do that.
All right. Now we're into the wheel categories. Spinning wheel.
So these categories, all categories previous guests have brought in, we put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin it twice. Whatever categories randomly pop up, we will use to judge this movie. Then there's also a listener wheel where listeners have submitted categories. We'll spin that once. And then finally, you will either come up with a category that we will add to the wheel, or we can pick a category on the wheel that maybe we think works really well for this movie. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I will spin the wheel for you since you are not here.
A remote spin.
Does someone die in someone's arms?
Does someone die in someone's arms?
Well, the Pino fake out death he does die in her arms the first time. And then she's like, oh, great, yeah, we can leave. And then he comes back to life and she stomps his face in.
So that's what a okay. The boyfriend and the babysitter.
They fall on opposite sides.
They fall on opposite sides of the table. But they were in each other's arms right before they die. So I think there's something to that.
Sure. Anything else? No.
Let's see. Mickey Rooney pushes Pino down the stairs. How does Pino kill Mickey Rooney? Do we see that? We don't see that scene.
No, we don't see that.
Yeah. And there's not that many deaths in this movie. Like it right. does it without.
There's mostly but toys who do. Yeah.
Yeah. The like motel owner, he dies, but that's with yeah. the.
But when you own a motel, you know that's coming.
It comes with the territory.
I guess there are more legs, but the lemur arms inside the larva. Sorry, not lemur.
Yeah.
The larva's arms are inside the manager.
So true.
You know what? It's that's a bit true. Of an
inversion. It's a reversal. Think, yeah.
A reversal. Mm-hmm. A reversal of fortune, maybe.
Some arms died.
Your arms
somebody.
Died in me.
Yeah,
but it's not like that big moment with you know, where it's like goodbye, sure. yeah. goodbye, yeah. friend. See you on the flip side.
I can love you like a real son, mother. yeah.
And never forget. I've always
no. What can we forget?
Pino.
I love Pino. Pino. I don't know. I think Pino is really underrated gay horror icon.
He's great.
I'm wow. making the case. Someone's got to be the first.
Somebody's
got
to.
Got to.
It's happening here, folks.
It's happening here. History is being made. yeah. What do you want to give Silent Night, Deadly Night 5? And does someone die in someone's arms?
I think that we found enough half cases that I feel comfortable giving this a 25.
25.
I'll give it a 31.
31. Wow. All right. I'll go 27. Okay. Give an average of 27.67. All right. Wheel spin here number two.
Fun.
Oh, thank you, Wheel.
Fun.
Thank you, Wheel. I think this movie is pure fun.
Oh, yeah.
Even with From the waiting for Guffman. Thrusting.
I totally agree. To me, that's the whole point of this movie, is yeah. that it is super fun. It's that it's so wacky and all over the place, and you get these over-the-top performances. Yeah, this is a fun movie.
Absolutely. If this isn't fun, I don't know what is. And certainly not dreary. You don't leave like, oh, that was really heavy or tough to get through or no. unpleasant. You know, it's like, this yeah. is a romp.
Right. The weird stuff is so weird that you're like, yeah, all right, I'm in.
Also, you get to see like Mickey Rooney, like rough up a guy. You know what I mean? Like get in a physical fight with a guy.
Oh, there's a bunch of those in Mickey Rooney's.
Are there? Does he rough up Judy Garland in any of those movies?
off camera, constantly.
What are those movies called again?
There's like Summer Stock, Girl Crazy. They're all just like a hoot and a holler.
What's the name for them?
Snickerdoo. They're all like, let's put on a show kind of things. Like, let's put on a show in the barn and that'll save the farm.
And it always does. That.
It always does.
And it does. They do manage to.
They do. There's still farms. Thanks to Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney.
Well, George, what would you give this movie for fun?
Look, maybe this will be controversial. I'm picking a 100 out of
100.
This definitely is fun. I felt a little, there were some slower parts for me. I'm going to have to go 80.
80. Here comes the Grinch. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to give it 100. I don't know. I think of all the Christmas horror movies I've seen, this is the most fun.
All right.
You know, it's definitely goofier than Gremlins, if you can believe it. Well, Gremlins is like a real
right.
actual movie. You know what I mean? It's like
Sure.
But for like
that's an A movie. This
that's
is
an A movie. But for a B movie, I felt like this completely.
This is lower than B. This was VHS okay. direct.
All right.
And not DVD, VHS.
This was the time though, John. That was where you had to see a lot of horror movies. A lot of great movies came out that way.
Uh-huh.
You don't buy
and
it.
And so did friend. So did Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 5.
Oh, wow.
Great movie.
Wow.
What a hater.
All right, shall we go to the listener wheel?
Let's go to the
Let's
listener,
do the listener wheel. So less categories, but equally beloved and important.
Straight up dick.
Straight up dick.
Dick. This comes from Duncan Feister. Thank you, Duncan. The category description for Straight Up Dick is full frontal male nudity. The wang, the tallywhacker, the John Thomas, the cock. Well, you do see Pino frontal. There's nothing happening there, though.
It's so funny because in that exact moment, she says, "No, Pino." And I'm like, that's what I'm saying when you look at his groin.
She's just reading to the directions. Yeah. There's no Pino.
I guess that makes it a zero in that he tries and there's literally nothing.
There's the absence of. Yeah, I don't think there's anything that even like there's the tidy whities. Do we get some like a hint of an outline at points?
Thinking that very briefly, the angle from below, maybe you get some balls, but not
get some balls, not the some straight up dick. Yeah. No. Most movies don't have this.
It's rare.
You gonna score low.
Lotus, episode White one Lotus of season would. Two did though.
That'll give it there to you.
They gave it to me. But no, this is a tough one. Tough one for. So what would you give? There are straight up dicks though, like asshole characters.
True, and his name is literally Pino.
And
I'm gonna say this is a five. Enough hints.
I'm also gonna give it a five.
Five. We're being very generous. I will also give it a five. All right, George. Time has come for you to come up with a category, if you have one, or you can choose a pre-existing category. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
Well, my gut instinct was living toys.
You think that makes the movie gayer?
Yeah, I think so.
I would think so. Look at what's the Life Size, the Tyra Banks Disney Channel movies franchise.
Yeah.
Okay. Haven't seen that one. I'll have to check that out.
Oh my God. You need to. I think you're
fine. Is Toy Story a good movie? I mean, a gay movie?
Story between Andy and Sid, I think.
And like presenting yourself in one way to the world, but then behind closed doors.
The heteronormative world.
There's maybe queer themes to it.
Sure.
I like living toys. There's that. Yeah. That is essentially camp. You know, look at the Nutcracker. There gays love the Nutcracker. I've never seen it.
But you hear.
I've heard from those weird gays. What would you give this for living toys?
I mean, there's a lot of living toys in this movie. I'm going to say that it's the only thing that, well, Pino himself is a living toy. So it's the main character is a 100 for me.
100.
I'll give it a 88.
88. The speed of the DeLorean and Back to the Future, John. Remember that?
That's why I did it.
That's why you did it. You love referencing those DeLoreans.
That's heavy, dude.
That's heavy, dude. I'll give it a 95. Give an average of 94.33. All right, now we are into the bonus category. Extra.
So these categories, as their name implies, are just bonus. So we're rating it from 0 to 10. It's going to be that percentage bonus points it earns in these categories.
Got it.
All right, the first one is musical potential. Could you see Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 being turned into a musical?
I don't know about that one, to be honest.
I mean, you got Mickey Rooney in it, so you've already got a little a song and dance man.
You could
right
do
there.
A killer toy maker movie, like a musical.
You could.
With a Phil Spector kind of like Christmas score, you know?
Interesting, what's tough is like the score in this. I thought there was some fun synthy stuff.
Definitely. But I think what's tough is that the thing that you remember about this movie the most is the ending. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that on stage or like make musicalize
it's Chicago.
That?
Chicago. It's like him, like his reveal is like
him
such
raping
a
someone.
Well, there's that, but there's also that robot striptease I thought was such like that's such like a you know cell block tango kind of feel.
The lights all go out, you see the silhouette.
And then the death by light up rollerblades is so Starlight Express, John.
It's very Starlight Express, yes. Wow.
So it's pulling in all these different music.
I thought there was it's like a right. All the presents under the tree, so to speak.
I see. You know? All right. See, my initial reaction was it was too all over the place, but I think you're right.
That's the
lean into it.
Yeah.
That's a function, not a bug.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm on board. I'm back on board.
Would I think it'd be a good musical? It depends on how the songs are written, ultimately. If the songs are fun, I think we're fine.
Who's getting the book? Who's doing the
Who's
music?
Doing that book? Keep those La La Land guys away from it.
And this goes to 10, right?
Yeah, 0 to 10.
Okay, I'm gonna come in with a six.
I actually wrote for this. Sure, why not? So I'll give it a 7.
John, high praise. I love hearing how invested you are. I'll give it an 8. Given an average of 7, which is 1 percentage point lower than Pain and Glory, than all but a horror movie. Where's his Christmas horror movie? That's what I want to see.
Great question.
All right, the next category, Queer Menace. How are we doing on Queer Menaces? Well, you know, I'm going to say Pino.
Pino.
I think Pino is a queer menace.
Sure.
I think that he fits the bill. He's
also killer rollerblades are a bit of a queer menace, I would say. Some of the more gayer footwear. John did say it was gay.
Yeah. It choked him out after. Talk about a reach around.
Yeah.
I think there's a few queer menaces.
Yeah. I think that this I'll give this one a 7.
Yeah, Pino fans are going to rate this high.
I'm going to give this a 3.
3? John, come on. Where's your love for Pino?
I guess I'm more of a pedo guy.
Uh-oh. You don't want that getting around. I do think it's crazy that they call his character pedo. It's spelled P-E-T-T-O, but the way you hear it is P-E-D-O.
Yeah, of course. And he runs a toy shop, and no one thought this is a bad idea.
It was pedo. But then I was thinking, is that what the original Pinocchio guy, Carlo Rambaldi or whatever his name was thinking, you know?
Well, yeah, it's so funny because it's like, obviously his name is Geppetto. We get it. But it's like no one is ever calling him that. They just scream pedo.
Pedo. Hey, pedo.
Pedo, open up
this
door.
What
did
you do to my kid, pedo? Yes.
Yeah. What's that Pino doing in my house, pedo?
Pino, pedo, you get out of here.
I'm giving it a 9 in Queer Menace. I mean, that's does it get more Queer Menace than Pino? I guess it does by 1 percentage point. But all right, our next, giving it a 6.33. Okay, our next one. Character actress makes a big swing. Well, you got your, what's her face?
Neith.
We got Neith. We got Amy, the babysitter.
I did like the opening scene when the mom, like the kid is just like mushing his pancakes and she smacks it and is like, what are you doing? Like, why is she coming in so hot? Like, what does he do that was so bad? He's just mushing pancakes.
Yeah,
he's just mushing
them
with his hands. It's not like he's, you know, putting the cat down the trash compactor. No.
It's not like he's putting a gremlin in the microwave.
Yeah, mom. That part, she had her moments that really made me laugh from time to time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
From time to time. Hey, she had moments. Some of her
moments from time to time.
From time to time, she had a moment, as it were, when she could. But hey, a lot of movies, they never get any moments. So
that's true.
I agree. I'm gonna come down the middle on this one. I'm going to say a 5.
A 5.
We don't have like a lot with the women. But I also wrote, is Mickey Rooney a character actress? No.
No. Is he like a character actor? I feel like he's always Mickey Rooney. Unless he's being a racist.
Completely racist. Yeah. No, I think he's definitely a character actor, but I'll give it a 4.
4. I'll give it a 4. Giving it a 4.33, which is 0.33 points higher than Blue Crush.
Wow. Take that, Blue Crush.
Uh-huh. Next category, Macabre. How macabre is this movie?
Well, we have killer toys.
I will say the atmosphere is not particularly macabre.
No. We're not in A24 territory.
No. There was something I thought was really funny. I forget. They were like reading someone's like rap sheet and they were like, they arrested him on Christmas. Like of all days.
Let it slide. Christmas.
Let him have a Christmas.
That was Mike Pence being come on.
I do think there is something very like Batman villain about like an evil toy maker. You know,
there's a toy maker is a Batman villain named Toy Maker. Yeah,
there you go.
Do you think that Mickey Rooney was drinking real whiskey? I don't think he was.
I don't think that he knew the cameras were on. I think that
seemed like he was in that stage of his life where he's just like, "What am I doing?"
He probably said,
"Can I wear my bathrobe?" Yes, you can. Great, I'll do your movie.
They're like, pour yourself a finger of whiskey. And he's like, half a cup? Okay.
That's why we call it fingers in the 30s. Fingers were different.
I got real fat fingers.
Yeah. There's also that dog tongue toy that I thought was like, it was looked like a wiener, but then you pull this big pink tongue out.
Oh, that was,
I thought
weird.
That was disgusting.
Yeah. What's even worse is that in that moment, Mickey Rooney does like a tongue flick as well. Oh. And it's like among the worst things I've ever seen.
And you've seen Silent Night, Deadly Night 3.
You've seen absolutely. All five of them.
I've
all
seen
six
them
of
all,
them.
All six of them. And if they make a seventh, I'll be there.
That's one ticket sold.
The only one.
Also, I think making out in a parking garage is gross. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking that air
chilling.
Quality.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's a little macabre. It's not insanely macabre. I'm going to come in with a four.
Four.
Yeah, I mean, there are killer toys, so I'll go four as well.
Four. All the Oedipal stuff at the very end, while being very funny, is also really fucking
very dark.
Weird.
Yeah.
And very dark at the same time, while also being back again to being funny.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a five. Giving it a 4.33, 1 point. Percentage point higher than Jingle All the Way. Not bad, not bad.
Okay.
And then finally, gay actors playing gay roles. I did look up the actor who plays Pino, Brian Bremmer.
Really?
He was in, results are inconclusive, uh-huh. I will say, but he was in the movie Miracles from Heaven, where he played a character credited as Grumpy Waiter, which if that's not a gay character,
that's not a gay character coded for gay character.
Yeah. So inconclusive, but not a no, but not a yes either, I would
yeah.
say.
I'll just say that this is a zero.
A zero.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to give it a zero as well, unfortunately.
I'll give it a one just in case.
Just right. in case.
That's fair.
Just for your case. Love, Pino.
One of us had to do it.
Yeah.
One of us had. I'll take the bullet for Pino any day. Send me fan art of Pino, please.
You don't know what you're about to get, Mark.
I know exactly what I'm getting.
All right, fans.
All right. Now we are into the iconic category.
So these categories are bigger, more wide-reaching, larger umbrella categories. So it's 0 to 225.
All right.
All right. First, so the first one, George, on a scale of 0 to 225, what would you give Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 in homoeroticism? How homoerotic is this movie? Well, we do have that ass play.
The ass
yeah,
play
Buck
that
is kind of queer
really,
bait. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, at, like we said at the very beginning,
the
you
dad,
know, you get that guy.
Dad.
Yeah.
What about the death by toy lemur? There's a lot of like oral fixation happening
oh, yeah,
with a phallic object.
Jams itself down his throat and then pokes right out the eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
which gays are always beating off to. Something
yeah,
just came out of your
part,
eye.
The first part.
Yeah,
yeah. The first part.
The first part, John.
Oh, gotcha.
There's also a mall Santa locker room, which I thought like, oh, I bet there's been porn scenes set in mall Santa locker room.
Oh, sure. I'm sure later that day.
Later that day, hey guys, we need this room.
Clint Howard was still in it.
I couldn't tell. I remember though, like when I was a kid going through the video store, like live home video was like, that was to me like a mark of quality. That meant like, oh, this is like good, fun, like, over the top kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I knew that because you would always see their logo on like the spine of the box. So in my head, I always knew like, oh, this stuff always kind of delivers in a way. It always gives you what you, it gives you the schlock you really want. They're never
yeah.
boring.
Yeah. I think that, that it absolutely did.
Uh-huh.
And I think that there is some homoeroticism in this movie and I'm going to give it out of 225. I'm going to come in with 150.
150.
I think there's some man candy, but homoeroticism, like yeah. two men together.
Fair. The hand squeezing the butt.
Sure. I will give it for that. I will give it a 30.
30. John, you gave Jingle All the Way a 70. You say that was more homoerotic than this by 40 points?
It had that sexy Santa Claus.
This had wrestling. More sexy guys.
But they weren't like wrestling like that.
They were in their underwear the whole time.
That, but that's not homoerotic. It's not like something homo. It's not like two.
Seeing
like,
a guy in his tidy whities and his butt getting squeezed isn't homoerotic.
While he's making out with a woman.
He's still, we're not looking at that though.
She's blocked from the camera.
Yeah,
angle.
The camera. She's off having a smoke.
My score remains.
Wow. I think your bias towards the movie is coming through loud.
I think your bias towards the movie is coming through loud.
Of course it
Send
is.
Send me more Pino. I want more Pino. Send me
I'm
Pino.
I'm totally biased towards a movie I love. I admit it.
Okay.
You're not going to catch me there.
All right.
I'll give it 120. Giving it an average of 100. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this movie and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Not a whole book.
No.
Not a whole
Maybe book. Something with toys. It's hard to like think like what's the look that you could be like, oh my Pino. God, I deadly know. Yes. Yes, Mark.
You don't think that Pino final look is
how
like...
what could someone do that would make you go, oh my god, that's Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, the toy?
Just like a fucked up Pinocchio or so, you know, just like a fucked up
I think that the deliberate lack of genitals in the Pino costume, though, would kind of get in the way of any like sexuality.
Trinity, the top, look out. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you need to like have genitals.
No, I know. But I'm just saying that like for me, that was why I was like, well, it's so there's a eroticism to going to the drag clubs and stuff. And so
could be.
Yeah, and well, and I just think that Pino, in that moment specifically, because it, like we said with the with straight up dong, you know, he's kind of doing the inverse.
I would love if a drag queen did like a Pino Christmas Santa reveal. I think that's a fun bit. I think that could be a good solid bit.
Okay,
do people get the reference? No, but I don't think you need to understand the reference to appreciate it. I think you could make it universal. This is just inspiration. It doesn't. It's not cosplay.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, what's her face? Bevan?
Neith.
There's one. She's wearing like a red. I wonder if you clocked that. She's wearing like a red and black getup that looked very like 60s Janet Van Dyne wasp.
Wow.
Kind of look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Actually, here's my second pitch.
Please.
What about the rocket skates guy?
I thought so. Very flamboyant. That would be a great bit, I think. A great act.
All right, so there are a few. I'm still probably gonna come in pretty low on this one, but maybe it's more than I initially thought. I'm gonna give this one a 45.
45.
I'm gonna give it a 41.
41. I'm gonna go 100. That's all for Pino. I want to see a Pino.
Mark, you need a boyfriend, is what I'm hearing.
So. I don't want to have sex with Pino. I just think he's a delightfully weird.
Oh, you just
character.
Want to scream Pino every 5 minutes. Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? All right, our next one, Queer 101. How much of this movie would you say is an essential text for queerdom?
Probably pretty low.
Pretty low.
Yeah.
All I can say is it's the gayest Christmas horror movie I've seen.
Yeah, I will. I think that that is going to give it a few points for me. You know, if somebody's like, it's Christmas time, I'm a horror fan, I'm looking for something that's going to blend these two with some... you know, over the top action.
We just watched Dracula. What can we watch to follow up Dracula? What's you know, fun thing after that? I think this would be a solid pick.
Every season of Dracula. Now what?
So I think that within the specific range of
very
Christmas,
limited.
Yes, I think that there is something to be said for it. So I'm gonna come in with a 48 on this one.
48.
I think there's really nothing essentially queer about this movie. I'm going to have to go 7.
7. All right. Higher than more than you gave Jingle All the Way. So that's something. I'll give it a 30. Giving it a 28.33. And then finally, last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Silent Night, Deadly Night 5?
I mean, that's the whole appeal. I mean, that's what you're coming to this movie for.
I don't want to see a serious take on this material.
No. I don't really want to unpack this.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny at the very end, they suddenly got the blue lightning like technique where they're like, oh, yeah, let's start using this the last 15 minutes of this movie.
Yeah. It's on Larry the Marva, and that's it previously. Yeah.
Don't you see it in the killer round Santa doll? He has lightning.
Oh that's
yeah,
right.
It does.
It's very opening.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Too.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're right. This movie is perfect.
I'm not mad at it. I don't know what I would change.
Yeah. Hey.
I don't know what I would change. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Not like Armageddon time when I saw that movie.
Come out with a checklist.
Nothing but notes.
Yeah. Nothing but notes.
I think this is a pretty campy movie. I think that it could have gotten a little more over the top. It could have been a little more extreme.
Sure.
But I think that for what it's doing, it's hitting the marks for me. So I'm going to give this a 150 out of 225.
150.
I will give it a 141.
141. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Christmas decorations. Catching your parents having sex and being totally unimpressed. Animated lightning. Clint Howard in anything. A little boy complaining about a store. A mall Santa freaking out. Santa's little helper not being able to read the room. Creepy presents. Mickey Rooney screaming, "You bastard! Need I remind you of the killer rollerblades?" Cross-cutting between two different sex scenes is a bit over the top. A movie where Mickey Rooney plays a character named Joe Petto. And finally, a Pinocchio-type robot thrusting against a woman and screaming, "I love you, mommy! I love you, mommy!" This is pretty funny. I'm going to give it a 201. Yeah. Giving an average of 164. That's actually the same score I gave Malignant in Camp Factor. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that feels right. And it's funny that you mentioned the double sex scene, because of the people that I was watching this with was like, you know, it's kind of funny that Brian De Palma never did a split screen sex scene. He was too cowardly to go for it, I guess.
Too limited.
Yeah.
Never been in a threesome, Brian De Palma.
Finally, we're into the crown jewel.
So these we don't score. We just say yes or no. We think it gets it.
All right. So the first one, a 50% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
Maybe not.
I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
You're not making a case for it, Mark?
I'm not going to make a case for this Pino. No. It goes too far.
This Pino is turned.
He's too twisted.
The Pino has turned, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
This is not the movie Stonewall, so we'll not lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it. We're done.
Good All right, job, George. Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker.
So, do you still think it's getting a 65 and coming in around Die Hard territory?
I want to believe. I don't think it will, but I want to believe.
All right.
So, I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,200.40 points, Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 has scored 1,097.74, giving it a percentage of 49.89%, making it the 121st gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Manhunter, but gayer than The Shining.
Wow.
Wow.
Manhunter is great. There's a lot of stuff in there that would definitely make you gay. So this feels right to me.
I think that feels right. I'm not mad.
Yeah, this works.
Yeah.
And 0.03 points higher than The Shining.
Hey, I'm into that too.
That had a guy in a bear blowing someone, a bear costume blowing someone.
Yeah.
Right.
And then one of the hottest scenes we've ever seen.
So hot. Oh my God.
Followed up by the coldest scene you've ever seen.
Yes.
That's a movie with range.
George, we did it.
What a treat.
We're done.
Oh, what a gift.
What a delight to have you on. Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
I would love to direct people over to the Best Little Horror House in Philly. It's the show where we talk about the best horror movie ever made, according to our guest, at least. And it's a lot of fun. Mark has been on the show. He talked about Carrie. I would love to get John on too.
And George is great. You don't have to do George does so much crazy research.
Oh, wow.
And he's just constantly presenting you with new tidbits and facts. I thought I knew everything about Carrie. I didn't.
Wow. Okay.
It's a blast.
Well, very high praise. And I encourage people to go check out the episode. It just happened. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people that you might know if you are a comedy fan, because part of what I like doing about the show is that I just started reaching out to people that I was a fan of. Those happen to be a lot of comedians. And so it's really fun getting to listen to recent guests have been Matt Apodaca and Paul Rust.
Oh, they're great.
They're both great. And I mean, Paul Rust obviously gets to talk about horror all the time because he has a horror podcast.
Yes.
But other comedians don't always get to talk about horror. And so it's nice to see a different side of people and let them explore that. So there's all kinds of great stuff over there. All kinds of movies from, you know, the greats like Carrie to the greats like Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, which hasn't been on there, but things of that caliber.
There, who knows?
John would not make that case, I feel like. What movie do you think, is there a horror movie, John, you would like feel like you would make the case for, like, this is the best horror movie?
I would have to think about it. I think Carrie is a good choice.
Well, it's been done.
Gary was a good choice.
I don't have to think about it. I would probably look for something that's musical that would be fun to talk about. Ooh, like no one else.
Oh, Rocky maybe Horror, like maybe?
Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, Phantom of the Paradise.
That's a great one.
Two great picks. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Two great picks.
Yeah.
Hannibal the Musical, maybe. I don't know.
Was there a musical?
Pick. Yeah, Trey Parker and Matt Stone's before South Park.
Oh, Hannibal. The Hannibal. Yeah. I thought you said Hannibal.
Oh, no, no, no. There's a Silence of the Lambs musical, but it's not a movie.
You got Manhunter on the mind.
There you go.
Well, yeah, so look forward to John coming on the show.
There you go.
There you go. Nice.
Everyone check out the best little horror house in Philly. You can check us out at Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, you can email us at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens at gmail.com. Let us know what you thought. If we got anything wrong, we love fan art of Pino for Mark. Christmas is coming up.
Want
to stuff
please.
That stocking? Send it to us there.
Stuff my stocking with Pino.
Yes. Speaking of stuffing stockings, you also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved one for the holidays. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying stuff, you're helping people out.
And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/jewelqueens, where we just did
the retirement plan.
The retirement plan. Go check that out.
Jingle all the way.
We just did Jingle All the Way with returning terror Olivia Norman. So check that out.
I also, before please. I said it to yes. Mark when he was on the show, but I wanted to say it here in front of all of your fans and John and everyone.
Okay.
You guys have one of the best theme songs in the game. It's so fun. I love it so much. What a treat
well,
every
thank
time.
You.
Yeah, it's what a so
you
great.
Don't skip oh. it. Nice.
Oh, I don't skip it.
Wow, that's high praise. Credit so all credit for that goes to Danny Cohen, who was yes, the composer indeed. And singer on the. Mm-hmm. Oh, not for the retirement plan.
For the first one, though, yeah, he's the composer for both of them. Yes.
He's the composer for both. You sing for the retirement plan. Danny sings the main feed mm-hmm.
yeah.
version.
He didn't autocorrect my voice for the retirement plan, so
he didn't need to. John,
I'm a little under at a few points.
John,
thank
it's
you.
People like the raw. It feels intimate, like you're there.
It's real. That's what the patron
yeah,
is
yeah.
for.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. It's not for.
We don't need
polish.
An image of you. We want no. the real thing. You
nice.
Know? Warts and all. Not that you have warts.
I've had warts.
You've had, who hasn't? Once you take too many pinos
into college.
Stocking.
Yeah, exactly. It'll happen.
But that's it for us. We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.